Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, it is FMC. I'm Jeremy. That is SP3 here on a beautiful Tuesday morning. It's beautiful. I don't know if it's beautiful here. It's snowy. It's slushy. It's rainy out. How's the weather out at your place, SP3?
It's a little rainy, and I look out the window. It's a little gloomy, but it's a good day. We have one of the biggest episodes of FMC we have ever had. I've been promoting this to the people that don't usually watch my other content. I'll be like, this is the show you want to be at, because we're going to talk about Catfish. We're going to talk about MILF Manor. The Lakers is on the up, y'all. We on the up, y'all. Not only are the Lakers going to have all their games televised until LeBron hits the record, so I am on the up because I didn't need to pay for League Pass this season to see a lot of your Laker games.
This trash team that didn't make the playoffs getting more televised game than any team in the league.
Hey, it's not our fault that greatness lasts for a few years. It doesn't matter if your team is great at the present moment. It's the greatness over time of the Los Angeles Lakers and LeBron James is the reason why we get more televised games than any other team. We have more televised games this season than the Oklahoma City Thunder has had in four seasons.
Yes. They should flex out Lakers games and put in Sacramento Kings games because they're actually good.
We beat them, so no, that's squad. It was a tournament. It was a tournament for who
was a tournament.
More games on television, and we beat them, so we won the tournament, and that's why we get more games televised. But not only that, the Los Angeles Lakers. For weeks, we've been talking about, are they going to make a deal? Are they going to do it? Are they going to trade their first-round draft pick? They said, no, we ain't going to trade those first-round draft picks. We're going to trade all our second-rounders and get Rui Hachimura. Oh, let's go. Did you see how Russ and Rui was playing together in Washington?
I did. He's
playing very well together. LeBron's got another scorer. This dude is shooting 43% from three. 13 points, 4 rebounds. LeBron's got another scorer to help him out. And just wait till after All-Star break when we got Anthony Davis on the floor with Rui Hachimura, with LeBron James, with the next great Bryant on it with a Los Angeles Lakers jersey. Thomas Bryant, the best pickup for the Los Angeles Lakers of the offseason. We're putting it all together, y'all. We're not even going to make the play-in. We're going to be a 6 seed. I'm saying it now. That's how excited this Rui Hachimura. I love saying the name. You're going to hear me say the name just as much as you heard Jeremy last week say that he wanted to fuck Josh Giddey. We are going to say Rui Hachimura. Rui Hachimura. Rui Hachimura. It's like Beetlejuice. I want to look in the mirror and I want him to pop out behind me and be like, hey, my name is Rui Hachimura and I'm a Los Angeles Laker. And that means that the Lakers are going to the promised land. That means that LeBron James, tomorrow, the next game that he has, he's going to break the record. Yes, he has like 250 points to score. He's going to score it all in one game because Rui Hachimura is on the Los Angeles Lakers, y'all. We taking it to the promised land. This is the best pickup in Los Angeles since, I don't know since when, man. This is like
Anthony Davis.
Maybe. Yeah, you're right. Anthony Davis is the best pickup for the Los Angeles Lakers since Anthony Davis. But Anthony Davis is not as exciting. It's not as exhilarating as to say Rui Hachimura.
He's shooting 33% from three, not 43%.
I meant in his last two games.
His last two games? Gives a shit about his last two games. Is that even true? I don't even know if this is true. And he's shooting 40-something percent. In his last two games from three, he is shooting 27% SP3.
Obviously,
he went 0-6 two games ago. He went 0-6 from 3 two games ago.
Obviously, ladies and gentlemen, I'd spend all my time learning how to pronounce Rui Hachimura and did not study the stats. Obviously. He is shooting 48% from the field. He's averaging 13 points, 4 rebounds. He is the scorer that we need. He just put up some buckets the other day against Orlando. He dropped 30 on a team that he didn't even like being on, that he said he wasn't going to re-sign with, the Washington Wizards. He dropped 30 points on 13 of 22 shooting, 5 rebounds. Come on. Rui Hachimura. The greatest Japanese player in American sports since Ichiro. I swear to you, you will see Rui Hachimura become one of the great all-time Lakers this season. Not of all time. This season, he will become one of the great Lakers that we have on the team currently in 2023.
I mean, there's not too much competition. One guy's always injured. The other guy's always complaining about something. And then there's Russell Westbrook. That's it. That's competition.
Hey, Rui Hachimura.
I like the deal for the Lakers because they just gave up a bunch of seconds, and like they're the Lakers. They can buy a second round pick if they're that enamored with somebody in the second round. And then Kendrick Nunn, who was pretty useless for them. Yeah. Like they had a logjam at guard. They needed to get rid of Beverly or Nunn or both.
We had 67 guards. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, they needed to get rid of one of them or both of them. They ended up with none. Hachimura is good. Like it's clearly that he isn't as good as the Wizard thought he was gonna be when they drafted him 9th overall. There was some issues somewhere in there. It could legitimately just be the Wizards are sort of been a trash organization, and just with Ben, look, Scott Brooks has been this man's coach. All right. I've been in the Scott Brooks bubble for a very long time as a Thunder fan. He does some good things when it comes to like player development and whatnot, but then he does some very bad things when it comes to player development, especially when he has veterans on the team. And for the most part, until kind of this season, he's had veterans on the team. I mean, Bradley Beal's always been there, and then there's Kyle Kuzma and that trade with Westbrook. But having Westbrook, having Beal, like, Brooks is always going to defer to these veteran guys, and he's not going to allow for proper development. I saw it for plenty of people in Oklahoma City, plenty of people. So I understand that maybe his development was a little bit stunted in Washington because Brooks is just going to defer to the veteran guys. Being in Los Angeles, there isn't too much time to develop. It's a win now team, right? Like he's, they ain't going to be, oh, let's baby him and give him opportunities and let him grow. No, LeBron's going to be chewing this man out when he misses a three in a big moment or something, or if he has a defensive lapse or anything like that.
He needs the tough love.
Well, so here's the thing is like, he seemed to respond pretty well to the tough love from Russell Westbrook a couple seasons ago, because I remember I watched way too many Wizards games when they had Westbrook, because I'm always going to ride for Westbrook. And they had good chemistry, and Westbrook would get on him, probably because Russ didn't want to play any defense, but Russ would get on him defensively of like, hey, do this, you're doing this, don't do that type of thing. And he seemed to respond to that. So it's a good deal for the Lakers because you're basically going from Nunn to Hachimura, and that's an upgrade. Like if you just look at the on-court right now, it's an upgrade. All the second-round picks, as LeBron said, fuck them draft picks, trade them. Who cares about them? He ain't going to be there. I ain't going to be there. I don't care about these second-round picks. So he ain't worried about that stuff. If you're looking at just the on-court product this season, it's an upgrade for the Lakers. Does it make them a sixth seed? I don't know. Everybody's so bunched in the West. So bunched. It makes them better, and that's really all you can hope for. It appeases LeBron for the time being until they potentially lose to the Clippers tonight, and then he's like, well, now trade them first-round picks.
Well, right now, we are two games out of sixth place. So this game against the Clippers tonight could be very important for us because we're a 12 seed, but we are only two games out of that sixth seed. So that's why I said sixth seed is the goal. so we don't have to play in the play-in. We get in there. We force the Clippers to play in the play-in, which you saw last season didn't work out too well for them.
It's not, here's the thing. It's not necessarily like how far you're out of the seeding. Yeah, they're two games out from the sixth seed, but they're 12th. Which means the Thunder, the Warriors, the Timberwolves, the Jazz, the Suns, the Clippers, like they're all ahead of them. Like those teams have to lose as well. Yes, the Lakers have to win, but at some point these teams also have to lose.
That's
like,
what I said. Clippers beating the Clippers tonight helps us out. Yeah,
it's a huge game tonight with the Lakers and the Clippers. Is Hachimura playing tonight? Do we know? Do we know if he's gonna be in the lineup? I feel like because they made the trade yesterday, they've had enough time to like
I would think so.
It's early in Los Angeles. We probably won't know until later on.
Pretty much.
Probably too early. But
yeah, it's like 5:30 a.m. in Los Angeles.
Whether he plays or not, like they're not losing anything by – honestly, they're gaining something because now there's no even like threat of putting Kendrick Nunn in the game to fuck up those minutes that he's in. So it's addition by subtraction. Even if Hachimura doesn't play, it's like, okay, well, this means no Kendrick Nunn minutes, which is a net positive for the Lakers.
Well, you know who's going to be playing like a beast tonight against the Clippers? The main man, Patrick Beverley. The man that they didn't want to put respect on his name when he shut down Damian Lillard. They said, oh, Damian Lillard had a bad shooting night. It was Patrick Beverley's defense. Mm-hmm. Patrick Beverley is going to step up. He's going to be the it factor for the Los Angeles Lakers against the Clippers.
Is he guarding Kawhi?
Him and Rui Hachimura, if he plays.
Is Patrick Beverley guarding Kawhi?
I hope not. But if he guards Paul George, I'd be totally fine with that.
I don't know about
Paul George runs the court, and I hear his knees cricking.
Patrick Beverley's such a Clippers player, just the most entitled person you'd ever seen who has not accomplished anything. Just such a – they should go back to the Clippers. I want to like the Lakers. I truthfully do. Despite all the slander, no, I give
don't.
Them
permission. No, you don't. Don't lie.
We've been down this road, SP3. You know I'm always going to root for Westbrook. You know I'm always going to root for Russ. That's my guy. Gave me too many memories. I'm not turning my back on Russ. Patrick Beverley makes it very difficult to like them. His little broken clock gimmick was funny though. I gotta admit, is this thing where he put it in his pot? That was good. I didn't hate that. That was
always makes me laugh. No one makes me laugh more than we didn't even get to talk about the Grizzlies game. Let's talk about that Grizzlies game when my man Shannon Sharp out here in these streets.
You notice he's like, oh, Dylan Brooks this, Ja Morant that, and he say shit about Steven Adams. That man wasn't about to put Steven Adams' name in his mouth. Because
take your lumberjack ass over here. I'm good. Let me talk to the fake light-skinned Brock Lesnar over here dressed like Cowboy Brock in his backstage interview saying that he's a pedestrian. That's one of the greatest tight ends of all time, Dylan Brooks. And you're just Dylan Brooks. What are we talking about here?
Oh, let them talk shit while they're on the court.
I love LeBron. LeBron coming at them. Like, don't talk shit. Make a couple of shots. Then you can talk some smack. And then he gets the ball, brings it right down the court.
Let him keep talking smack. Shannon Sharp has gone so far down from being one of the greatest tight ends ever to reduce himself to this screaming, yelling show with Skip Bayless. Shannon Sharp's no better than what we do. He's just got a bigger platform. We're going to overtake Shannon Sharp.
Exactly. We are Earth 2, Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless. Like, I'm yelling about all the greatness of the Los Angeles Lakers. I just don't go into the hyperbole with LeBron, but I scream and yell and root for the Los Angeles Lakers like Shannon. I'm one of the greatest tight ends in wrestling media, and you are Skip Bayless. You are an excellent writer who is now screaming at the guy who's a Laker fan.
It's the meanest thing you've ever said to me is calling me Skip Bayless.
Except you don't have the botched Twitter fingers of Skip Bayless, to be fair.
I say dumb shit on Twitter, but it's purposeful, and you know, it's not in bad taste. I do it just to, as my bio says, pop myself. I don't get myself in trouble of saying extremely dumb shit and untimely, tasteless shit.
Yes, indeed.
This thing you've ever said. Just call me Skip Bayless. I don't know if I'll ever forgive you for this SP3.
I called you yesterday on a bearded white man named Jeremy.
Hey, that's true, though. I am a bearded white man. That's just facts. You're literally just saying facts at that point. Say, can I get Skip Bayless money? Like, if I'm gonna be Skip Bayless, somebody hook me up with some Skip Bayless money, okay? Because that man ain't gotta do that show. He's living nice. I get that. I'll quit. I'll actually keep doing this show if I got Skip Bayless money. I'll quit all the writing stuff, but I'll keep doing this show and like pretty much any show that I do. I'll just stop listening to Drew McIntyre interviews for 20 hours a day.
That's a blessing.
It is. The NBA trade deadline is in a couple weeks. It's February 9th, so it's 2 weeks from Thursday. The Hachimura trade is kind of the first like domino to fall with everything, and now we will see if other teams kind of get in gear and try to make some moves. I don't know what's out there because the West is so bunched. Like, I don't know if teams are going to be willing to like sell guys. Start of the season, you looked at the Utah Jazz after they traded Mitchell and Gobert, and you would think like, oh, well, Mike Conley's gone. Like, they're going to easily trade him. Maybe Laurie Marketing can be had for the right price. Even Jordan Clarkson, maybe somebody will pay up for him.
To be fair, they said everyone is on the block or on the market except for Laurie Marketing and Kessler.
I mean, they say that, but there also has to be part of them that because they're in the position they're in right now of just being like, let's maybe just ride with this team and see what happens. Like, they got enough first round draft picks. And at this point, you can't out tank the Spurs and the Rockets. Or like, you just can't. You're not.
This is another level of tanking. Yeah. Like, yo, how the hell is all this West butt stuff except for those two teams?
Like, you can't out tank those two teams. So you may as well, because especially like guys like Conley too, like he's a veteran who wants to win. Maybe if he goes somewhere and it's like, hey, can I get moved to a better situation? That's one conversation you're gonna have. But if he's like, no, like I wanna stay here, I wanna like try to help this team into the playoffs, I wanna keep helping these young guys, that's a different conversation. But it looked like before the season, it's like, oh yeah, they're definitely gonna trade off anybody they can. And now it's like, I don't know if they are gonna trade off anybody that they can. Again, unless these guys actually go to management, be like, hey, I want out of here. Like, I just want to get moved to a team that has a little bit of a better shot. You look at teams in the East, like it's kind of bunched in the East as well. I don't know what the Hornets are doing. I don't know what the Hornets have been doing for about years at this point. The Magic, not sure. The Hawks, it feels like they need to do something, but they've been trying to trade John Collins for years and can't find anyone to trade for him. So I don't know quite what they're thinking about doing. The Pacers look like another team's like, yeah, they're going to trade everybody. Now they're in like a play-in spot. It's like, maybe. The Raptors, everyone's talking about the Raptors of like, what are the Raptors going to do? They got good players, and it sounds like they're asking a lot for these good players, like Van Vliet, and Anobi, and Siakam. They ain't coming cheap. And are we going to see a team like really pony up for these guys? And I don't know if those deals are out there to be made.
Yeah, I don't see a team that would make that trade this season. And yeah, I mean, I would say Raptors is the biggest kind of sellers who's going to be selling off those players, but I don't know who would be a buyer for that. Maybe Miami. Miami's always
in those conversations.
Yeah, Miami is always in that conversation. The Knicks is also kind of can get into that conversation as well, in my opinion. That's what I think. And then you got teams in the West who are in that middle portion who are kind of being on the downslide over the last 2 weeks with like the New Orleans Pelicans, the Dallas Mavericks. Those two teams have been like, they were in the top two, top three in the West, or top four in the West. And now they are kind of declining and getting into, especially with the Mavericks, they're getting into that bunched up 6 through 12 spot.
The Pelicans, I think, is just more injury-based. Like, I don't feel like they're going to make a move, because I think they do like their team, and they should. But because of all the injuries, they've just been sliding, which is understandable. We're going to get Nick on, by the way, probably that Tuesday before the trade deadline. I think we're going to have either that or be the Tuesday before the All-Star break. One of the two.
Ready to be, if y'all like me talking trash and being the biggest Rui Hachimura fan in the business, get ready for that episode, because I might get a Brooklyn Nets jersey for that episode, because my Brooklyn Nets is in the top four, y'all. You saw us beat the Warriors? We beat the Warriors, y'all. We beat the defending NBA champions.
Everybody's beating the Warriors this season.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. But my man Kyrie, my family Kyrie Irving, 38 points. And we ain't even have Kevin Durant. Come on. Give us some credit. Not everybody beating the Warriors without their best player, though.
They needed that win, because they've been losing a lot of games without Kevin Durant before that. So that was a good win for them. That team without Durant, though, they're better than they were last. I said it last week. They're better than they were last season without Durant. But you're missing Kevin Durant. You're not going to be as good as you were. You know what team needs to blow it up? Like, just, I don't know what they do. I don't know how they do it. They got to figure something out, though, SP3. The team that outscored their opponent 45-13 in a quarter and fucking lost. How do you outscore a team 45-13 in a quarter and somehow lose? Not just lose, nearly lost by double digits. They outscored a team by nearly 30 points and still lost by 9. What are the Portland Trailblazers doing? This game against the Lakers should have been over at the half. Should it 45-13 in the second quarter? I know you were watching that game, SP3, watching the Lakers get outscored 45-13 and being like, what's happening? No, this is unacceptable. This is not right. How's this happening?
I turned the game off. And then the second half, I won't lie, I turned the game off.
You should have. Like,
I tap out, and then I just started getting waves and waves of text messages. Like, are you watching this? And then I went back and watched in the fourth quarter. Oh, man. Came back from 25 down, y'all. 25 down.
They had 45 in the second quarter and then had 41 in the second half. Wait. I don't know what the Blazers are doing. They started off really well, and it looked like, oh, Jeremy Grant, good addition. Anthony Simons stepping up where McCollum was. Dame is back and everything. And then the second half, just unacceptable basketball. They, I don't know what they do. Like, I don't know if anybody wants Nurkic. I don't know if anybody wants Josh Hart. Probably, teams could use Josh Hart. He's not a bad player. Yeah. Jeremy Grant, like, they just got him, so I understand not wanting to trade him. But, like, man, that was unacceptable. To play that way,
they had such a good start to the season. I don't know what's happening.
They had a really good start to the season. I mean, you look at their record to start the season. They were 9-3 to start the season, and then since then, not good at all. Since then,
they're like the Earth 2 Lakers. Like, Lakers started 2-12. And we're in this bunched up West conversation. That's saying something. That, although we're a 12 seed, that's saying something after the start we had. I thought we were going to have a season like the Rockets and the Spurs when we started off the season the way we did. But they started off the season where you would think they would be in the conversation with, like, New Orleans and Dallas getting into that top three, top four position. And nope.
9-3 to start the season, and now they're 22-25. How do you outscore an opponent 45-13 and lose that game? I'm not even a Blazers fan. I don't even really care for the Blazers because, you know, I mean, look, they started the Shea era, so I can't be super mad at them. But there's some history with the Thunder and everything. I don't even care for the Blazers. I feel I know Blazers fans. But one of my good friends is a Blazers fan. I feel bad for him having to watch this team. How SB3 45-13.
I know how, ladies and gentlemen. And it starts and ends.
I'm about to mute you.
With mute Charles Chuck Barkley saying that the Portland Trail Blazers was the best team on the planet all those years ago. And then he stayed on that bandwagon until all the wheels fell off. Everybody jumped off. It was like the damn Titanic. All the wheels fall off. It fell into a river. He was still on the little wagon, like donkey paddling, while there was no wheels on it. It was sinking down into the ocean. He's like breathing. And then he grabbed on to the another bandwagon of the Denver Nuggets. And he's trying to get himself back to land. But the Portland Trail Blazers, it all starts with Chuck. Chuck saying that they're the best team on the planet, drowned them, and now we are seeing them underneath the water.
That's actually fair. I can understand blaming Charles Barkley. He's not going to ruin my Denver Nuggets, though.
Oh, yes, he will. Thank you, Chuck. Thank you, Chuck, for grabbing onto that bandwagon, because the weight of Chuck Barkley is too much for any bandwagon. So eventually the wheels are going to come off of this Denver Nuggets thing. And man, I'm going to hate being on this show if the Denver Nuggets actually play as well as they're playing in the regular season in the playoffs. I'm just going to be miserable.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's going to be like when the Phoenix Suns were playing so well.
I mean, why do you hate that I might be right? Like, you should be happy for me if I pick the Denver Nuggets.
You shouldn't have won the last two MVPs. That's why I don't like the Nuggets.
You're still on this. You're still on this.
Yeah,
you're not even capping for like Davis or LeBron. Like Joel Embiid is who. Like, should have been Embiid.
Yeah, should have been Embiid.
You're not even a Sixers fan.
It should have always been Embiid.
You're not even a
Sixers fan. I live close enough to the Sixers. I used to get free tickets to Sixers games when my sister worked in marketing.
Why are you supporting James Harden? Why are you supporting
I'm not supporting James Harden. I'm supporting Joel Embiid.
I'm supporting Joel Embiid
and the East Coast. The closest East Coast team that outside of my Nets that I am okay to support in any type of way. Joel Embiid.
Joel Embiid is just James Harden, but he feels the rain quicker. That's all it is.
To be fair, Joel Embiid, James Harden, the Philadelphia 76ers don't got nothing on Rui Hachimura. Rui Hachimura. The greatest. I'm just gonna say it. You know, you guys tried to get on me in the chat. I saw y'all when I said he was gonna be one of the greatest Lakers of this season in 2023 of this year. But I will say Rui Hachimura is one of the greatest names in NBA history.
It's a very good name. I mean, he's gotta actually play some basketball and, you know, prove that he can live up to his name that you have bestowed I think you've bestowed his name on him. He's got to prove he's going to live up to this hype that you bestowed on him. Jesus.
Imagine.
Me fucking Josh Giddey was something. You sound like you're trying to marry this man. I'm just trying to fuck.
Hey. I am only trying to marry one woman in my life, but if I was to marry a man, I would take the name of Rui Hachimura. I would be Mrs. Rui Hachimura. I don't know about all of y'all, but I mean, wouldn't you want your last name to be Hachimura?
No, not really.
Man, SP3 Hachimura. That's what I want people to call me now. SP3 Hachimura. I want to be adopted by the Hachimura family.
Is he on Twitter? Can we like tweet him? Be like, hey, will you adopt SP3? Let's see.
Even though I'm 10 years older than you, will you adopt me?
Yeah. Right. Let's see if he's on Twitter. Let's tweet at Rui Hachimura. I don't know if this is actually him. His middle name Lois? Oh, he's got a check mark.
There we go. Hachimura.
It doesn't look like he tweets a lot, though.
It's okay. I'm going to tag him. I'm going to be like,
all right.
Rui Hachimura, will you adopt me or marry me?
You definitely were about to say, will you marry me? Ask him to marry you.
Yeah. That's what I said. Will you marry me or will you adopt me? It's either or, so I can get your last name.
Yeah. Did you tweet him?
I'm doing this with one hand, ladies and gentlemen. All or right. Adopt me, Rui Hachimura. What is this Twitter handle? Rui. I'm just gonna spell out his name. Maybe he'll come up. Hasha. Damn, I gotta look up the spelling too. This is going great, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, Hasha.
Well, I had it pulled up. I should have just tweeted him.
Yeah, you should have. What are we doing?
Well, I was going to, but then you said you were gonna do it.
It's not coming up. I don't see it.
Oh my gosh. All right.
Or is it Hachimura Rui?
Let me take control of the show.
Is it Hachimura Rui? Rui?
It's Rui 8 Mora. Rui underscore 8 Mora. That's what it is.
Rui
That's what's got
underscore
to check for everything.
8 Mora.
Did you find it?
Nope.
Oh my God. All right. I'm going to fucking
Rui.
Put it in
my okay. That's all right. Lois. His middle name is Lois?
Yes. That's what I said. It's like Lois. It was weird.
Will you marry me, Rui Hachimura? Or watch. Okay, and I'm gonna give him a third option, or watch FMC, where I'm gonna say your name a lot.
He still claims to be a Washington Wizard, so he hasn't updated his profile in the past 24 hours.
24 hours? That's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, maybe, but I mean, that's a little concerning. That's a little concerning. I don't feel like he's actually prideful of being a Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh, he will. Most of these he will. Guys,
I feel like this is disrespectful.
Okay, so I wrote live now. Will you marry me or adopt me at Rui underscore 8 Mora or watch FMZ on Fightful Overbook? Tweet.
Where is it? I don't see this tweet.
Boom.
Oh,
it's out
there. Okay.
It's out there in the world. All
right. I just retweeted it. Okay. Well, I wish you luck.
Thank you. Thank you, Kai. This is how morning shows should realistically function.
Just not function at all. So I feel like we're functioning right now. So we're just not functioning. That's basically what's all happening here.
I think we talked enough about basketball. We have not talked enough about Rui Hachimura, but we will talk more about Rui Hachimura as much as I want to say Rui Hachimura.
I hope this man plays well for you. We do. I hope this man plays well for you because I can't bear to see you sad if he just disappoints. I just can't.
Honestly, at this point, I'm so on. I think his name is so over. I'm totally fine with him just playing subpar, as long as I can say.
No, he can't be subpar. You've hyped this man so much, he cannot be subpar. He can't. He's got to go out there. He's got to average like at least like 12 and 5 or something. I don't even
know. he just gotta average his averages right now. Give me 13 and 4. I'm perfectly fine with that.
Yeah, he's gotta at least like play well enough. Maybe hit some big shots, things like that. He can't play. He can't play subpar. It cannot be.
He's got to have. He's got to have a Thomas Bryant year.
You've asked this man to marry you or adopt you, SP3. You can't have subpar basketball after that.
Because of his name. Not because he's a great basketball player, because of his name.
Yeah, but like you still want that to like live up to the marriage or the adoption.
This is
true. You don't
want
to just be name-based only. Like, this oh, I'm true. Proud to be with this person because of their name. You got to be proud to
no,
be with this person because
I'm
of what
also,
they actually do.
No, I'm also proud of him for being just a Los Angeles Laker.
He's not proud of that, though. He hadn't even changed Twitter profile yet.
He's going to give me permission to change his Twitter profile when he accepts my offer. He's either gonna marry me, adopt me, or he's going to watch FMC, and he's going to see the love and adoration and make me his social media manager. Elite. That's the fourth option. I could be his social media manager and change his profile.
He probably does need a social media manager. Wait till the Lakers blame him for one of the losses when they put him in the photo after a loss. And it makes it look like they're blaming him. That's one of the greatest bits, by the way, is when they do the photos for the losses and they don't put LeBron in any of those lost photos. So hilarious. Go back and look, folks. This is a very known thing of like they just don't put LeBron in any photo when they lose. They'll be in the win photos all the time.
They'll put Russell Westbrook a bunch of times.
Anybody but LeBron.
Yeah, anyone but LeBron. And then if the Lakers win, it's always LeBron.
Meanwhile, you got the Cowboys Twitter, who's like, yeah, Dak Prescott sucked. It's all his fault that we lost. That was hilarious. They're like, yeah,
Dak, I love how they buried him. They buried him. He even had Skip throwing away his Dak Prescott jersey on social media.
Skip finally came around and realized that the Cowboys are going to be the Cowboys. What can you do?
I don't know who had a funnier reaction, Skip throwing away the Prescott jersey or Stephen A. calling up Shaq after the Cowboys lost.
We're going to invite our pal Cher Delaware here shortly. Before that, I'm going to invite our pal, I don't actually know if you know him that well. I'm sure you've heard of him, our pal Ross Burtman, to come on here and potentially talk MILF Manor with me.
I love it.
You've got to watch this show, SB3.
Eventually.
You have to.
I don't know.
No, there's no, no, you have to. I know last week I said like, oh, it's a little uncomfortable. Like I feel like the wife was like, I feel like an accessory to crime watching this. Like I'm going to go to jail watching this because it's a little odd, you know, seeing these older women and the way they are. Their sons are there. Their sons are there, and it's a little uncomfortable. It got super uncomfortable this week. Ross's message. I know he's watching like the Oscar announcements. Okay, he said give him 5 minutes. All right, I'm gonna try to hold off a little bit for the.
You're so excited to talk about this. I'm a little bit worried.
Oh, dude, this is Kai. Have you watched it? Or have you just seen like the Twitter talk? Because this is an amazing show, SB3. An amazing show. I'm telling you, when you want to talk about like bottom of the barrel, like trash reality television, this is it.
This doesn't get any more trashy than this.
No, because here's the thing, and I'll talk more about it with Ross, but here's the thing. We watch a lot of reality television shows, right? We watch like some reality dating shows. Think like Love is Blind. There's a concept there, right? Of like, hey, they're in these pods. They talk to each other. Then they go into marriage. Then they live their life. There's a concept. There's a start. There's a middle. There's an end with everything with this, right? Like you watch Are You the One? And it's like, okay, here's the goal.
I actually just watched Tori's season of Are You the One because it's on Netflix. I actually watched it and I was
there's
like,
a new season.
This is how Tori started. This is how Tori got her start. Oh my God. Yeah. Yes, I did see there's a new season on Paramount
Plus.
There's
a new season.
I was just like, I'm just waiting for Paramount Plus or Netflix to drop Cam's season. The Cam season I've never seen. I want to see Cam on Are You the One. I want to see Nelson on Are You the One. I haven't seen either one of them.
I think Nelson's on the Paramount Plus season.
He is?
I'm pretty sure on the Paramount Plus. I thought so.
I don't know.
They are missing like what? They are missing like one of the seasons on Curry. Are they? I thought they were missing like one.
Yeah, they're missing a few, I think. Oh. Because there isn't there like a second season with Tori where she met homeboy that she cheated on in Dirty 30?
I don't remember this at all. You could be right, but I do not remember this at all. I think
she was on the season where they lost like money. So she was on the, I think the redemption season was the season that she first meets Devin. Because I still haven't seen Devin's season either.
Oh, Devin's season is definitely on there because I've watched that with the wife.
Oh, then I need to go in there and see if I can find it, but I didn't see it.
Unless they took it off.
I think so. They only had a few seasons. They had one season that had like a few episodes on it, and it was the season with I don't know if you remember him, Brandon from Rivals 3, the guy that TJ first came up with this goodbye, see you never. That's the first one he ever said that to. He was on that season. Christine, who is on Bloodlines, and Dario is on that season as well. And then they only watched that one, two or three episodes of that.
They might have taken stuff off because they used to have like all but like one season. So they may have taken stuff off. All right. Ross is here to talk about the greatest reality television show, maybe the greatest show of all time.
It's definitely the show of our time. Let's put it that way. I don't know if it's good or if it's bad. I just know that it captures the moment we're living in. Jeremy, how are you this morning?
Good. How are you, buddy? I know you're watching like the Oscar nomination, so I'm sorry to pull you away from that.
Oh no, it's fine. They wrapped up like 20 minutes ago. I'm just sitting here being on the Elvis train.
So MILF Manor. I didn't know if anybody else was watching this show besides me, but I saw you tweeting about it, and the wife saw you tweeting about it, and then we watched the later. It comes on at like 10 o'clock as well.
Yep.
We gotta get people to bed and can't have that on. But oh my god, this show. So I was trying to explain to SB3, it's the best show in the world because there's no concept. Like there's a concept, but there's no like guidelines. There's no host. No. There's no rules. They act like they play games to win dates, but you don't actually see these dates. They just kind of go on and do their own dates. Like SB3, this past episode, they did Wall of Secrets, right? So they had the moms write down a secret. And they had the sons write down a secret, and they put these secrets up on a wall, and they had to guess which secret it belonged to, like their mom or their son. And you would think, like, oh, okay, so if you get the secret right, that's how you win. No. You tried to stump the other one, and that's how you win. And there were three mother-son pairings that allegedly won.
They room together. They interview them together. They're couples.
It does sound very much like couples. But there are three mother-son pairings that allegedly won. We didn't see any of these dates. I think the people who went up on a date just went by themselves.
Not true. We got to watch Kelly and Jose go to that one rock that Jose saw on Instagram that apparently his mom also wanted to go to. So SP3, let me break down MILF Manor for you.
Yes, please.
Because I think he needs the proper context. So basically, a group of MILFs are brought into a manor, and they are told, you are going to find love here. You are going to find the man of your dreams who's probably going to be half to a third of your age, yada, yada, yada. And they reveal that the dating pool for these MILFs are all of their sons. So they didn't know this, although granted, they all admit in the like opening interviews, I knew he was going to Mexico, but I didn't know we were going to be in the same place. I just thought he was going to be on another dating show. Important context, it's in Mexico because the drinking age is 18.
When you told me that, so now, I was like, oh, that makes sense.
Yep. So anyway, each of the moms has to room with their son. There is a dedicated room in the manor for smashing, kind of like the way Jersey Shore works.
Yeah.
And so it's just going to be weeks of these challenges that like Jeremy said, there was one that was Wall of Secrets, which was, it was real fun until it wasn't, until one mom revealed that she slept with one of her son's best friends. And then, and then the guy got traumatized. Like there are going to be emotional damages lawsuits that will follow this show. It will be taken down eventually. Look at like Love Island or some of the stuff that's going on in the UK. So we need to enjoy it now while we still have it. The first challenge they did was they put a blindfold on each of the moms and you had to grope all of the men their like muscles and their pecs and stuff and decide which one of these is your son. It was, yes. Can you identify your son by groping their muscles? Now, as Jeremy said, there are no rules. There's no host. They get their challenges by text message. It doesn't seem like there are even producers goading them on. It just seems like they are stuck in this house with an endless supply of alcohol and, let's just say, other substances. I'm not gonna, you know, point fingers or anything, but they are very clearly keyed up in a lot of these interviews. And so it's just kind of watching these like dudes deal with the fact that their moms are sexual people and these moms deal with the fact that their sons are sexual people. We're 2 weeks in, and I can't wait to see just how deep, dark, and weird this gets. My girlfriend's obsessed with it too. Like it sounds like it's united Jeremy and his wife. Like it brings couples together somehow.
I told my missus about it and she was like, no, we are not watching that. But I think Ross had a better explanation of it, because for how Jeremy explained it to me, I was like, well, it's kind of like Netflix Dated and Related, but with moms and sons. But you just explained it where it's like Dated and Related meets Are You the One, yep, meets Jersey Shore. Yep. Like, it's all of those had a hybrid, had a baby, and that's what MILF Manor is.
And I really cannot stress enough just how well they cast this show. They picked some moms that have some just real, like, big personalities. They picked some of the most neurotic sons that you have ever seen. There is one. Jeremy will understand this. Kelly, 90% sure her son's... Her son's a virgin. That's me and my girlfriend's theory right now, is that he's just talking it up and being like, oh yeah, no, I've hit it and quit it many times. I promise. And like, he's just there like trying not to get found out.
SP3, if you look at the thumbnail for the show FMC that we're doing right now, and you see the blonde and her kid next to her with the goofy look on his face, that is Kelly and her son.
Yep.
Kelly is going to go down. Ross, you got a great tweet of like, she's going to be the next president based on how this country votes.
If she's not at least in the House of Representatives, then I have lost complete grip on politics at this point. I really do. If we can get Marjorie Taylor Greene in there, I think Kelly from Orange County is absolutely House of Representatives worthy. She's a spectacle.
If she doesn't end up in politics and as the next president, she's already a reality television legend. Just through two episodes, already a reality TV legend. Just an amazing. We didn't even get to the racism at the end.
Where you have to remember, this is a show set in Mexico. They're in a manor in Mexico, and Kelly at one point gets frustrated with the fact that two of the moms are speaking Spanish together. She thinks they're speaking about her. She says they're excluding her. Yada yada yada. Now, to complicate matters further, Kelly is kind of in a thing already 2 weeks in with Jose, whose mother is one of the Spanish-speaking women that she's yelling at. And so there is already conflict in the house between Kelly from Orange County and pretty much all of the brown moms. It's going to be really insane. I don't know where it's going to go. Again, lawsuits will follow.
I am looking forward to this. All I have to ask is, you know, in TLC lore, where does Kelly rank among the Big Eds, the Usman Soldier Boys of the world?
She might top them. I'm not even joking. Two episodes.
I don't know if she could top Big
Ed. This woman's outrageous.
I will temper expectations. Again, we're only 2 weeks in. It's very possible Kelly burns herself out at this rate. So I don't want to put too much on her, but I do think that she's up there. And this is why I said she's the 2024 frontrunner. The last time I loved a reality show this much, we elected the host president of the United States. Well, I didn't, but a lot of people did. There is this kind of like understanding that, oh no, this could go very, very wrong. I remember the sick thrill from The Celebrity Apprentice. So we'll see where this goes.
She is amazing, like absolutely amazing. And she knows what she's doing and she's just like completely goading it on. And like, I respect her for it. Honestly, you could tell the moment she walked into this show and introduced herself, like the look, the attitude I told the wife, I was like, oh, she's gonna stir all this shit up. Like, you could tell she came in there with a game plan and she's executed.
Let me put this into real reality show terms. I think that if Kelly maintains the momentum she's been on, by the end of the first season, she will be at the level of New York from Flavor of Love and I Love New York.
That is some GOAT level.
She's that kind of instigator. She's that kind of she's on a reality show and fucking with everyone.
Because people only know of New York from her VH1 era and don't know of her Big Brother stuff. And oh my god, my missus watches her Big Brother stuff. Like when she thought David in the house was dead. That's one of the greatest reality television moments of all time. Go out of your way to watch that. So if she's on New York's level, then you guys are onto something.
Again, only two episodes in, plenty of time for her to still burn herself out, but she's starting hot. She's starting off real hot.
Once you get past once you accept that the premise of this show, SB3, and you accept that it's a little bit uncomfortable at the start, then, and you just enjoy it for what it is, then you can just like really dive into this. Cause last week I told you, I admitted it felt like I was an accessory to crime, like trying to watch these women and groping their sons and things like that. And now I just accept that there are no rules on this show. It exists on a different planet and I'm just enjoying it for what it is. I've accepted my fate of this is the greatest show ever.
It's a geek show. It's 100% you're watching someone bite the head off a chicken and going, I understand that I'm doing this to feel better about myself as a person. But they've got me for the next like 45 minutes while whatever degradation and embarrassment they want to put these people through is on.
Wow. Can we talk about this woman admitting she slept with her son's best friend and this poor kid who just has this dumbfounded, stunned look on his face, which understandable. And then, you know, it was all fun and game. Everybody's like joking, ah, I got pink eye from eating ass. Yep. Like, ha ha ha. And he's mimicking how he eats ass and got pink eye and everything. He's like, oh yeah, I went out with your college or high school science teacher or some shit. And the other one was like, I had an orgy with seven women.
Yeah. Everything. But again, I can't stress the support that everyone was showing. It was I slept with your middle school teacher. Oh yeah, hey, good for you. Go get it. I had sex in an elevator after a movie. Hell yeah, go get it. I had sex in
it was all good.
Yeah, and it there was this feeling of support, and like you start to like get lulled into this like, oh, this might be an empowering show. And then one of the moms is like, oh, and I slept with your best friend, and this dude's just like, he's also, again, on a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
it's very late at night, and he's just been dropped a big bombshell on him. And so should we just go into exactly what happens?
Oh, so we're going to spoil it. Sorry.
The dude gets even more hammered. There's like one of those time jump cuts where they're just sort of like, look, we legally can't show you whatever the hell happened in this house for the next like 25 minutes. And he's just hammered, yelling on the back porch, completely naked in the pool. His mom has to like come out and like talk him off, not off the ledge, because he's in a pool. He's not actively trying to hurt him, but he's talking about how like, look, you haven't seen. Okay, I'll show you how. Like, oh, he's like threatening to get back at his mom for this revelation. It never gets like squashed either. They pretty much just leave it at I'll get you back, and then move on to the dates that people won from Wall of Secrets. So there's still more to come from that, and that's not even Kelly. So there are like the people in the house that aren't Kelly are also bringing as much craziness as Kelly is, and I think that's an important part to note, because we can talk about Kelly forever, but a lot of these moms are pretty crazy. There's one that seems sane. I'm waiting. Yeah, there's one that seems like kind of normal, and I'm waiting for her to snap.
The normal one is the one who lost her daughter. Do you think the normal one's the one who lost her daughter?
I don't remember if it's the one who lost her daughter. The normal one is the one who like originally found the naked son in the pool and was like, okay, can we like deal with whatever the hell's going on here? Like there was one mom that was clearly trying to like get some kind of reconciliation. That's the normal mom. And I still, there's, like I said, there's time for her to snap.
she understands. So she came on this show. I'm terrible with these names. But she came on the show and she's a little bit bigger and she recognizes of like, oh, all these other women are very into their bodies and everything. And I'm a little bit bigger and everything. Yes.
Yes. Charlene is her name.
There yes. we go.
Yeah. She was the one who came and tried to talk to the sun in the pool.
Yep.
She is normal in that she understands that she is a little bit not as beautiful as the other women. But also she like lost her daughter like 3 weeks before coming on this show. Like her daughter like died and her daughter was in her like 20s or something. And then she's like, oh, to get over this, I'm going to go on this show. And oh, here's my son. And now I'm going to try to sleep with a bunch of these young men on here. This is normal on this show.
Yes.
SP3. She's going to need a bunch of therapy and probably, as Ross said, lawsuits.
Everyone's going to need therapy. I mean, don't forget, they are, while there is all the stuff that's going on the camera, they also have all of the sons crashing with their moms. They're rooming together, which means that like that was one of the main points of contention between mom that slept with her son's best friend and drunk naked son. Again, I'm still learning all the names. We're 2 weeks in and it's been chaos. But the fact that they had to go back to the same bedroom and like sleep in the same room together after all of this stuff was like one of those points of contention, I guess.
It's an outrageous show, SP3. You've got to watch this. You have to. Everybody in the chat, everybody watching this live or on demand, please watch this show. Like the world deserves, the ratings deserve to just go higher and higher. We need this show to be renewed forever. Honestly, it'll get it even more stupid and then we'll all burn out and we'll all turn against it. But for right now, this first season, everyone needs to witness this first season in real time. Do not be late on this of like after it ends, binge watch it and everything. No. You need to watch this in real time as it happens.
Because look, let's be real. It's on Sunday nights. It's on the same time or at least the same night as The Last of Us. And look, with all due respect to The Last of Us, that's going to get season two. It's going to get season three. You don't have to watch that live. MILF Manor, you got to watch that live to keep this show alive. And those legal fees are going to be so expensive. The jump in cost from season one to season two is going to be huge. So please tune into MILF Manor on the Learning Channel.
The Learning Channel.
It's on the Learning Channel. I'm not making a joke. I am stating a fact. I am just promoting MILF Manor on the Learning Channel for free. I am doing this it's my day off and I'm promoting MILF Manor.
Ross, thank you for joining us. We're gonna have to bring you back every week so we can just recap MILF Manor.
I'm down for the MILF Manor recap, baby.
I'm gonna send you this link. This is literally out of the blue. I told the wife, I was like, we're gonna talk about MILF Manor. And she's like, oh, are you gonna get Ross on? I was like, yeah, you know what? I'll just send it to him and see if he wants to come on. That's what I did.
I was up. It was Oscar nominations. I watched for my boy EO the Donkey to see if he would get any nominations. Best foreign picture. Hell yeah, EO. But yeah, I'm down to talk MILF Manor even when it's not Oscar season.
Ross, thank you. If you want to plug anything, go for it.
The folks over at Wrestling Inc. have been very good to me. Otherwise, rossberman.bandcamp.com. That's where all my music's at. Thank you again, Jeremy, for having me. Good. Thank you, SP3, for putting up with my MILF Manor rantings. I hope we've converted you.
I love it.
If not, then I hope you look forward to my rantings.
I've watched 90 Day Fiance and all the spinoffs. This is right up my alley. So.
Okay, you get it.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, take care, y'all.
Everyone go follow Ross. Go support Ross.
At Ross W. Berman IV on Twitter. And again, rossberman.bandcamp.com. Bye.
I didn't know if the display name is going to show up. Ross, you got to get in on this show, SP3. I'm telling you. You have to. It's so terrible. It's so terrible.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen.
I've invited... Everyone watch MILF Manor. I think new episodes air at 8 o'clock on Sundays, and then there's a replay at 10 o'clock on Sundays, and then it's on demand as well. Watch this stupid fucking show. You'll feel better about yourself, if nothing else. You'll feel better about yourself.
Yeah.
I've invited our pal Cher Delaware. She'll be here at some point, I assume, maybe. Until then, you know, you want to like briefly talk about the challenge? I didn't think this week's episode was that great.
I mean, we finally got some teams eliminated. That's what I was happy about. We had we started off the show with Jordan and Anissa. They got rid of Team Furniture in Not So Fast, which is one of my favorite favorite eliminations. Not So Fast, because it's a lot about technique more than it is like size or anything like that. That's why I would have loved if this was Fessy in this one instead of always a physical challenge. But this would have been more interesting, especially because it's about communication. And really, this challenge showed how far Jordan and Anissa have come, and their communication were definitely on point and everything. That's the reason why they won. Kenny is one of the most – Kenny might go down as one of the worst challenge contestants along with Jay Gotti. He is right up there with Jay Gotti as one of the worst challenge contestants of all time. He can't do anything well. And for the first time in four seasons – for KC, she is out before the final. That's what I was happy about in this episode the most, is that KC was gone. Because I've never seen someone make it to three finals, and literally the only thing memorable about it, and despite winning a championship, is her relationship with Nani. That's it. That's the only thing memorable about KC. So out of there. I love Jordan with his aggressive motivation for Anissa as well. The way he talks to Anissa is borderline abusive, but he gets the results. And Anissa talked about it, that she needed that type of partner.
Yeah, she seemed okay with it, which I mean, I guess she did tell him to like shut the fuck up in the other elimination where they're dragging each other around. She was like, "All right, can you just shut up and just let me focus on this?" I like KC because I like Nani and I want Nani to be happy, but man, Kenny is just useless. Absolutely useless.
Why did she think that was a good idea to bring him on?
One of the worst like challenge players that we've had on this show. That didn't give us like any off challenge moments, like in-house moments. Didn't do anything in the competitions.
You know who's one of the greatest challenge contestants that only did one season? I don't know if you remember him. Mike from Real World Las Vegas, that was Leroy's partner in Rivals 1. Mm-hmm. Like, he's one of the greatest. He's one of the greatest challenge contestants because he was like this ordinary, like short white dude. And he was just so awkward in this atmosphere of the challenge. Like he was very smart. So people feared going against him in a puzzle. I remember Wes literally asking him like, "Oh, you know, we're going to make it so you don't have to be in the elimination because you're probably good at puzzles." And then he does the confessionals is like, "I'm not very good at puzzles, actually." He was like, "But I'm just going to go along with it because everybody just thinks I'm so smart and stuff." So yeah, like he was just so awkward that it worked. And even, you know, I watch Love Island UK, and the best character on Love Island UK this season is this guy, Will. Because everybody around him are like models, actresses, and stuff. This dude is a farmer. He's a farmer, and he has some of the most awkward conversations with these girls, but he's just so sweet and genuine that he just comes off like the best character in a whole house full of horrible people and horrible characters. So that's what makes him get over. And it's similar to how Mike was on Rivals 1, one of the best parts of Rivals 1, why I think that's the greatest challenge season. But Kenny Clark literally adds nothing. He's just boring. He's just boring. That's why him and KC are Team Furniture. Like, they were the furniture. I saw more confessionals from Kayla and her husband, who were out on the first episode. I saw more confessionals from them than I saw Kenny and KC, and then we're up to episode 15.
Did Kenny even, like, have a confessional? Like, not even joking. I don't remember him actually doing a single confessional.
I remember the episode that he got eliminated. They gave him like three or four confessionals, and I was like, "Yeah, you're definitely getting eliminated because this is the most confessionals you had in this one episode than you had the rest of the season." So you're definitely getting eliminated.
he's absolutely useless. And again, I feel bad for Nani because I like Nani and I'm rooting for her that Casey is now gone. But man, pick a better partner. All right. Find a better ride or die. Just make something up to get a better ride or die. Act like your best friends like Tori and Devin did to get a better ride or die.
And let me just tell you, with this episode, the people that piss me off the most, of course, it's another week, another challenge episode where Fessy pisses me off. Dude, that conversation with Mariah, I was like, yo, this man might be the least self-aware person that has ever been on the challenge. He's like upset with her for how he treated her, and she responded back to him. She's like, I thought you betrayed me because I treated you like shit and you treated me back in the correct manner, and you're the one that's wrong. Yo, he is the least self-aware person. Every time he's on the screen, I want to smack him. I really want to smack him. I can never do it in real life because he's a very tall individual and he loves physical stuff. But I want to smack him through the TV because he is the most least unaware person that has ever been on a challenge season.
Yes.
See, you didn't even need me to say the name. You knew what I was talking about.
I was very mad at that conversation because he's only about himself, right? He doesn't care about anybody else on this show. Like, and I feel bad for Mariah, but I hope like this is just their complete downfall when it comes to the final challenge of just, that ends it of they can't get along because he's being a dick. And she's just like, you know what? Fuck this. Like, I'm not doing this. But then, man, he didn't go into the elimination, Bananas and Nani, who won the challenge. Like, I get so angry anytime Fessy's like not down there and potentially going into the elimination. No, I get so angry at it.
But you're not even seeing the part. The whole reason why they weren't in the nominations is because Bananas is hooking up with Mariah. And then they do a confessional with Fessy, and he says, oh, I'm being so good in the game. I'm so loyal. That's why they didn't pick me into the... I was like, I almost threw the remote at the TV. Like, I was like, yo, what is wrong with him? Like, this is...
He is very delusional. Very.
Yes. It's only about him. Like, that's all he can think about. It's like, he is just God of everything, and that's that. Like, he's making all the great gameplay moves. He hasn't done anything wrong. He doesn't understand why people are mad at him about anything. It's the worst. He's the worst. Just the absolute worst. I hope he never wins a challenge championship.
I hope so. I want him to be the most cocky player who never won a challenge championship. That would make my heart 10 times.
He would have to be the most cocky male player because Anissa has it for the females.
Oh, that's the other person that pissed me off in this episode. Dude, Anissa and Devin, I don't know what they did. They give them like IVs with Haterade for Amber? Because like, dude, when they said, oh, she's just playing this game, when she literally nominates herself to be the vote, to go into elimination, oh no, she's just trying to play this game and come off self-righteous. And I was like, yo, she made your life easier and y'all are still complaining? This is a next level of hating. Like, they are making me love Amber even more because I'm like, she's like the nicest, genuine person in this entire house of scumbags, and y'all are finding a way to hate on her.
Alex is asking, did we see Amber's announcement? Yes, we did. We shared that in our little challenge group chat. Oh, good for her. That's going to be a beautiful, beautiful baby.
And then Fessy and all of them were congratulating her. And the fans were like calling them out in the replies to them congratulating her, being like, you fake ass bitch. So I enjoyed that.
He's absolutely
going to be like one of the beautiful baby. Guys.
Yes. In the elimination, it was Amber and Chauncey who nominated themselves to go down, and then the safe dagger was pulled by Horacio and Olivia, and they ended up saving Devin and Tori. So Jordan and Anissa had to go into this. And it was basically pull your opponent and knock down these little platform things. Anissa just kind of dragged Amber around. Poor Amber. She was smaller, and Anissa just used her weight to just pull her all around that place. And then Jordan more or less just outsmarted Chauncey when it came to stuff. And so he was able to get his down. So Jordan and Anissa live to see another day. I like Jordan. I'm rooting for Jordan. Anissa is just... She somehow becomes, like, you guys are right about, like, the female fessy of just the entitlement of, like, I've been here for so long. I've won all these eliminations. You haven't won anything important, though. You're in these eliminations because nobody actually buys you as a real contender. None of the guys want to, like, team with you if they have to team with in the finals. And the girls don't actually like you, so they just throw you down there and hope someone finally eliminates you.
And I don't want to be rude, but it's easy to win the physical eliminations when you're twice the size of some of the girls.
Yes. Yeah.
Just saying. Like, if this was any other elimination, I think I would have took Amber in it. So, I mean, Anissa, you were like the Earth, the reverse version of like Casey and Melinda, how they went on All Stars and like improved their legacy. Like Melinda used to be one of the worst players and then made it to the All Star 2 finals. And Casey was one of the worst players and then, you know, won those daily challenges in All Star 2. With her, she went on All Stars 1 and got beat by Eric in a final. Eric, 300 pound Eric beat you in a final. Jesus Christ, just stop playing. Just stop playing the game. You're not good at this.
All right, that is the challenge, our challenge recap. Do you want to get into the catfish story, SB3? You owe everybody your catfish story.
Yeah, I do. I'm going to let the people know that I was a victim of catfishing. I did not realize it until I got to like a few years later and I was able to look back on it and I was like, yeah, I got catfished.
It took you years?
It took me years to realize this. No, it was actually after we broke up that I realized that I was probably catfished. But I didn't know the term. It was a few years later that the term actually came out and I realized this. But I was in high school and I met this girl on Mahente. This was an old dating site where you could, it had a bunch of Spanish people on it. And I was the black guy going, trying to ride my 10% Panamanian descent. And go on Mahente, and I met this girl. Her name was Brittany. I don't remember the last name. My missus made me remember that her first name was Brittany.
Spears.
Maybe. She had a few pictures. None of the pictures were her by herself. It was her with other people or other friends. And some of them were cropped too. So that was the first indication that I should have had that something was a little bit fishy. But we were talking for a while. I lived in New York, she lived in Virginia, and we were talking about, you know, her coming to me a bunch of times. She was supposed to come to New York and visit me, and she kept, you know, something always came up and stuff. So eventually, after like I think it was like 8-9 months of us talking, me and my friend actually started talking to another one of her friends. I don't know if it was her with another voice or not, because it was always like a multi-person call. It was like a four-way call. So me and my friend, we go out to Virginia. We took an 8-hour bus ride to Virginia. Around hour number 3 of the bus ride, she lets me know that her mother has changed her mind and said that we can't come because we were supposed to stay at her house, that we couldn't come, that she was not allowing it, that she got in trouble apparently, and her mother was not going to allow it. So we were trying to figure out, we were just 16 years old, so we were trying to figure out like, oh, if we could get like a hotel and stuff. No, we spent all our money on the bus ride. So we get to Virginia, And I try to get on the phone with her mother. Her mother's just, she's like, no, she doesn't even want to speak to y'all. And we had to turn right back around after 8-hour trip from New York to Virginia on a bus. We had to turn back around and get back on a bus back from Virginia to New York. And then I think it was maybe 2-3 months later, she lets me know that she met some black guy in Virginia and that she can't talk to me anymore.
How old were you?
I was 16.
You got on an 8-hour bus ride. Okay, I mean, I flew to California.
Yeah, come on, man. Like, 16, that's the age you do that stupid shit. But yeah, that is the abbreviated version of the catfish.
Have you
thing. I could tell you all the messages back and forth. I was emotionally scarred.
Isn't the Mrs. of Spanish descent?
No, she's not. Well, is she? I think she is. But she's mostly Italian.
She knows these things.
You have kids with her. You should probably know.
Yeah, she is. No, she is. She is. Puerto Rican descent.
So you still went down the Spanish descent road.
Oh, I always do. Always do.
Always do. Not hiding that at all.
Not hiding that at all. Okay. But she's mostly Italian.
Have you looked up Brittany? Like, have you checked into done some research to see who this may have been, or anything?
I would literally have to go into my like AIM. This is when I had AIM, ladies and gentlemen. Like, I would have to remember my AIM password and go back to menhente.com and try to find this Brittany girl. Really, and my missus is actually good. She's really good at taking the pictures. She does the Neve stuff, and she takes the pictures, and she could find the source of the picture. So if I could remember my Mahente password or my AIM password, I could get her the picture, and she could probably find who the real Brittany was.
Your password was SpanishDaddy69.
It's still a website. It looks like it's mainly an app now. Yeah.
Oh, it's mainly an app. Like,
yeah. Connecting you the Latino
community. You download the app and the missus is going to be like, Yeah.
Exactly. I ain't doing that, ladies and gentlemen.
You just tell her it's for the show. You tell her it's for
No,
the
I would show. Let her do it. I would let her download it, and she could get the pictures, look up the Brittany. But I have to always also go into my memories museum and try to remember her last name as well.
Wait a second. Okay, so it said if you Google like Mahente dating site, it says what happened to Mahente website. Also, unless customized by the user, anything posted on Mahente is public and users can comment on any post without being friends with the poster. In May 2019, Mahente was redirected to blackplanet.com, which is also owned by Urban One.
That was also my site, blackplanet.com. I remember
apparently
that
they're
too.
Just all connected. So yeah. I feel like we need to investigate this more and see what Brittany is up to nowadays.
Maybe she still has a Mahente. Maybe.
Do you have any like fringe catfish moments, Cher Delaware?
Yes. But we knew he was a catfish, but we still kind of went along with it. He said his name was Lucas. It was like Zingo or some weird, like, something like that. Wingo. It was Wingo. And we knew the pictures. Okay, I live in a really small place. It's not like I live in New York City where you can be like, yeah, I live 5 minutes from you. Like, if you live 5 minutes from me, that's everyone in this town, you know? And he kept saying that he was from a town that's like 15 minutes away, that the population is like 300. And I'm like, no, you don't. Because I would definitely, like, there are 5 attractive people in Southern Illinois. So I would know who you are. And so we just kept being like, oh, yeah, yeah. And we were pretty sure it was a girl that was doing it. But he was texting both me and my best friend. And we both, like, we didn't tell him that we knew that he was texting us both, but we both knew that he was texting us both. And so she worked at McDonald's, and I went to McDonald's one night, and he was telling her he was going to meet her there. And then he told me he was going to be at McDonald's. And I was like, oh, I'm out of town. And we both were just like, okay, we got to see like who's here, you know, to see. And we never did figure out who it was, but we were pretty sure that it was a girl. But then he just like, well, at one point he said he died. And then he came
How
back.
Did he say he died?
He did the catfish like, move of saying he was dead.
He just like texted you and was like, I'm dead.
No, he had the family member text him.
Yeah. No, it was Facebook. He had people posting on his wall, like, rest in peace. And then he came back. Just
him under multiple different accounts.
Yes. Him under his burners.
Yes. And then he disappeared for a little bit. And then he was like, remember me, and came back. And we're like, okay. But then, yeah, that was.
That's a little like some pretty wild shit.
It was like the football player. The, what was it? Tua? They did the Netflix special on him.
No, Mantateo. That was.
Mantateo.
Yeah. He got catfish.
That was I would have been about 16 then too. So
yeah.
I feel like I have like again fringe catfish stories of just like talking to people and then their photos, they'd send multiple photos, but they like didn't align, or they would send photos that clearly weren't them. And then so like if you'd ask for like an updated one or something, they just wouldn't, they'd never send that. And then when I tried to meet up with these people, it was always nope, not gonna do that, or just some excuse of why.
I feel like our generation, we were really the first with like the internet as you know, like the social media sites and stuff like that. So pretty much everybody has experienced something like that just because we were the ones that were teenagers during that time and everything. So,
I mean, I thought the wife was a catfish for a while. So,
I thought my missus was a catfish.
People think I'm a catfish all the time. And I'm like, I would have definitely picked somebody else's pictures if I was going to be a catfish. Like, this would not be. Yeah, I get that all the time. I'm like, okay, well, I mean, a lot of people have met me, but all right. Like,
still think you're a catfish, doesn't matter, you have a twin, you just have a twin, that's what it is. Cher, you have a surprise for us.
I do. Yes. So I did not do the Thirst Tweets of the Week because last week was a hard week for people with the loss of Jay, and people weren't thirst tweeting as much, although I could have got some good ones last night from Court. People saying they wanted Roman to sue them and things.
Okay.
But I do have something that I have been supposed to have for a while now.
Oh, so. I think you're right, SP3. Yeah! Look at the penis.
Penis.
Close in the dark.
Close in the dark. Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That rules. So Cher has. Nobody's going to like screenshot that and use it for any reason. Oh, bless you, Cher Delaware, for just giving everybody that. Oh, fuck. Cher Delaware has acquired this dick because she lost the challenge, our challenge draft. And we actually, now that they have the teams back, I actually should pull up the draft board again.
You like, should now because we got two teams eliminated now.
Yeah, we actually have to get back on who's doing what. Somebody, you're going to have to send that penis to somebody, and then they're going to have to.
Yes, it's all about passing the penis.
Yeah, you got to pass the penis.
I may lose again, but
it's true.
Depending on who wins, if it's a team, someone else is going to have to get a penis.
So you've lost Casey and Kenny, SB3.
I lost Team Furniture.
Amber and Chauncey.
And I just realized I had Amber.
I lost Nelson and Norris. The fucking chat's going to win this thing. Look at this.
They got two teams left. And
the
I got
chat's going to win.
I have Anissa. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, that is the chat might win this thing.
They honestly, I think SP3 is going to win.
You think Devin and Tori are going to win? We all have one team left.
I was utterly shocked that Horacio and Olivia picked Devin and Tori, because I was like, that would be the most obvious to pick here, because that's a good chance to get them out of the game. And
honestly,
I don't know how they keep avoiding. Devin has played one of the greatest seasons of his, ever.
That's why I think that he might win. But also, I think it's hilarious the chat has two left when they only had two options.
Yeah.
And just got the leftovers. At one point, you each had like three teams and I had one. And now here we are.
Now we're all down to one.
You took out two of my teams this week, Jordan and Anissa. You took out two of my teams. Sheesh.
This is going to go. The chat legitimately might win this thing. This is insane.
As long as it's not Fessy. I would love for Horacio and Olivia.
Then we all have to sit on stream with our penis trophies.
Yes.
Yeah.
We would all have to get separate penis trophies now.
If Horacio and Olivia win, that's like the greatest rookie season
ever.
Ever.
Yeah.
Because they've been to elimination.
Absolutely.
Elimination record and stuff. So, yeah.
Well, we will see. It's coming out. I feel like the finals got to be within the next couple of episodes. There's only five teams left.
Yeah, so. I would think they're only going to probably do one more elimination. And then those four teams will go to the finals. And then one of those teams will get eliminated before the end of the final. Because apparently, all I did see was the description for the final couple of episodes. And it's a 100-hour final.
Oh, boy. Well,
Jeremy, your missus texted me and said, I barely have time for the life I currently have, much less to make up an entire new one.
Okay, so she tells that story all the time to me of like, why would I be a catfish? Like, you know how busy I am with everything. And like, I agree. That's why I was like, okay, yeah, this makes sense. So if you're going to make up a life, you probably wouldn't make up a life with like kids and everything. So, you know, like why would you do that? So I get that aspect of it, but she slides in my DMs just defending Bret Hart, and we're just bantering about, and just anybody that takes this much interest in me, I'm already like, you're a little suspect. So that was the first thing that I was concerned about. But she slides in my DMs just talking about like Bret Hart and stuff. And so I'm thinking like, this person's not real. Like, and I wasn't sure.
You see, and sliding in the DMs work. So that's what I'm going to do with Rui Hachimura.
Did you go to Ohio to meet her for the first time?
Yes. Yeah, I drove there. I was very worried about like driving and just like, oh, she's going to message me and be like, oh, no, this is off. I thought I was about to, what happened to you, SP3? Is like, I'm going to drive 8 hours and then she's going to message and be like, nope, sorry, can't make it and everything. I was very scared of that. But fortunately, everything was fine. But no, after a while, I learned like, okay, there's no way, like, if this person's making all this up, then bless. This is a great story to tell that you did all of this. But there were certainly concerns. She always just said the right thing and just like accepted me too. And coming off the last relationship, wasn't used to that at all. So I was just like, this person is just too perfect, and still the case. But I was just like, this person's not actually real. I was smoking a lot of drugs in that period of my life too, which didn't help me of the way I was thinking. Real. Yeah, 100%. It was always like, I would tell her it was like 3:30 a.m. Like, it would just like hit me of like, nope, this person's not real. By like 3:30 a.m. I was just blitzed out of my mind. So like, yeah, that didn't help things at that time either, of why I thought that. I still think she's a catfish sometimes. Like, nah, you're not actually real. Like, you're still a little too perfect.
That's fair.
She's gonna message you and bury me, I'm sure, now.
Inception. So. He thought she was Inception.
I did pop, and I didn't realize you said this last week, Cher. But and then the wife showed me the message. You call her Mrs. Jeremy, and that pops me. All right. Anything else?
That's what I always call her on Twitter too.
Yeah.
Mrs. Jeremy. Oh yeah, that's now her official name. I'm calling
Mrs.
her that.
Jeremy. Too. Well, I mean, I can't call her the wife.
Yeah. He could. Whatever. I mean, this. Yeah, you guys are friendly with each other, so just everybody's. I don't know if I want her being the wife to multiple people. That's a little weird.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No.
No. Don't need all that. All right, I've gotten things completely off track even more now. Anything else we need to talk about? We will do dating stuff next week with you, Cher. We're already at about 90 minutes, and I gotta get actual work before Sean yells at me, even though Sean will post in the chat shit that I did 3 days ago and act like it's new, and I'm just like, Sean, I did this 3 days ago. What do you want from me? What do you want from me? Anything else? Anything else we got to do on the show today? We wrap this thing up. Oh,
my top five catfish episodes. You had fake Bow Wow. That's the black lesbian who had like the short hair.
She's been on two episodes.
Yeah, been on two episodes, and she helped find another catfish on a Zoom episode. Two, Hundra with Machine Gun Kelly. Who Hundra tried to gank the catfish?
Corny bro, corny, yeah, bro.
You corny bro. Yo, he got up to the car and was like, you corny for that. Got up in our face and stuff. Hundra, and she was so indignant. Like, oh no, I did this to come out. This was my way of coming out. Like, she was so entitled. It was so great. Two, you got me there. I'll give it to you. You got me there. It's one of my favorite gifts of all time. And just how he comes out the car. And then gets up in his face. Like he was about to press him and stuff. Oh my God. That is a just another one. He was just out there. He was just indignant about everything. Two, Katy Perry. The Katy Perry episode. Oh, top notch, delusional, meeting the person and being like, it's not her. What was the name of the two kids that we said we were gonna have? What was the name of the? It was just so, it's like, it's not her. And then when they finally think, oh no, he's finally got it, he realized it's not her, then they call the girl afterwards and ask her, and he's like, yeah, he hit me up on the same profile and was like, yeah, some girl tried to act like it was you, but I know it's not you, Katie. They had to call him back like, dude, you do realize that's not Katy Perry you were talking to. And then, of course, number one, all-timer, you called me a fat Kelly Price. She literally was the one that called the catfish producers to be on. She literally orchestrated a grand embarrassment for her own cousin.
You should have never called me a fat Kelly Price. That is the petty level that I aspire to be.
One like, line.
That is just amazing.
One line of "you're a fat Kelly Price," that's it. And it's like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna expose you to millions of people on a reality television show.
I'm gonna create a whole voice. The voice was the one that got me. Yeah. It was like, yo, David. He was like, what? Seriously?
I think maybe I'm too cynical. Because, like, I don't believe anybody when they say anything. And these people are out here believing they're talking to Katy Perry. And, like,
all right, that one, like, that dude is just delusional. That's not cynicism. Okay, that's just, like, this guy's absolutely delusional.
I will get a message from someone's Instagram account, their verified Instagram account. And I'm like, is it really them, though? Like,
this man would have a field day on wrestling Twitter. All of the friggin' fake bot accounts that message and stuff. All everybody, these fake Mandy Roses and everything that slide into DMs. Like, I see you're a big fan. I'm like, yes, Mandy Rose 3589. I'm a huge fan of you.
One time I had like 15 Kenny Chesney, the country singer, like 15 fake Kenny Chesney profiles followed me on Instagram, like one after another. And I'm like, what is like, how did I get exposed to Kenny Chesney Instagram? And what is happening right now? Like, I'm so confused.
Kaden is here to, I don't know what you're here for. You got like 2 minutes, Kaden. I'm trying to wrap up this show.
Why are you here?
On the show?
Why are you advertising for Amazon?
Yeah.
My dad works for Amazon.
Can you give me a discount?
Yeah, what the hell?
I can't even get discounts.
Oh, well.
Can you ask him why my Amazon Prime shipping takes a week and a half?
Yeah. I think it's just because of where you live.
I mean, it used to take 2 days, so.
No one can find you.
Stop using two-in-one shampoo.
I don't understand the issue with two-in-one shampoo. Can someone explain this to me?
Great job, Kaden. That is FMC for this week, everybody. We will talk to y'all next week. Kai has sent me the photos of Cher with the penis close to her mouth. So, I mean, I will put them in our group chat. I will not just willy-nilly throw them out there on Twitter. I won't do that to you.
You won't willy-nilly?
Yes.
Willy-nilly. That's the willy-nilly trophy, or as I like to call it, the Rui Hashimura. Rui Hashimura. That's what everybody feels when they say Rui Hashimura. They feel that penis trophy.
Oh my god. All right. Do you have anything to anybody would plug something? Cher, anything to plug?
You can use this to plug. just check us out next week. I'm going to be at Dynamite tomorrow, and I'm going to be in San Antonio this weekend, and I'm sure I'll have fun stories.
Well, we're not talking wrestling on this show.
So. Oh, no, I'm not talking about wrestling. I'm talking about
gives a shit about that.
Because
yes.
I told, because Big E's going to be in San Antonio. So.
Oh, nice. There you go. I've sent the photos in our group.
Oh,
chat,
I see it. So, I keep getting things that you shared them. I'm scared.
Yeah, so if you want to put them on your social media, go for it. I would not, even though it's
Fightful overplugged.
Oh god. Oh my god. SP3, do you want to overplug anything?
Twitter, True Hill SP3. I got a new podcast dropping this week, Ace Techers, over on WrestleWin with Kyrian, NK, and Sanal. We talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling. If you like New Japan Pro Wrestling content, True Hill Heat YouTube channel. Just did a review for Wrestle Kingdom 17 in Yokohama and that Okada Kiyomiya brawl that I enjoyed so much.
You have too much to do, SP3. You do way too much.
I do. I do a lot.
Yeah. Kaden wants me to plug his show. I don't know what you do, Kaden.
What does he do?
I don't know.
What there. Show?
That I don't know. I have what no show? Idea what.
Oh, I got to plug. I got to plug one more thing.
Okay.
Because this is Earth 2 Tag Talk. But plug and Tag Talk. Follow Haley and Kylie. And this is Earth 2 Tag Talk. That's our other name besides FMC, FJG, Getting Catfished. All the other nicknames that we got for it. The Rui Hashimura Show, all those things.
I took Cher off screen for a second so everybody could see the Twitter handles down there. There was no new episode of Tag Talk yesterday. But as always, there may be one later in the week. If not, they'll be back next week. Yeah, watch Tag Talk. Watch all the other stuff we have going on Fightful Overbook. Maybe Kaden wants me to plug his booking show that he did with Kylie. He booked Kenny Omega's IWGP US.
Yeah, watch Kylie on that show.
Yeah, yes, watch Kylie and some kid.
Kylie was so good on that show.
And some kid that uses two-in-one shampoo.
look, he's the two-in-one with the fingers. There you go. All right. Subscribe to Fightful Overbook. Go to our Twitch channel, everybody. twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. Some people are watching this on our Twitch channel right now. I'm doing gaming streams again. I'm very proud of the fact that I'm doing gaming streams again. SP3 joined me for a few minutes yesterday before he went to record Just for Fans. I'm that's the official show title.
Yes. Just for Fans. Just for Fans.
It works on like multiple levels because you're just for fans, but the show is just for New Japan fans. You see the layers on that one. Yeah, you get it. Twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. I'm doing game streams pretty much every week at this point, so do that. Thanks, Kai. Kai is great. Appreciate you subscribing for me playing some retro video games on retro wrestling games on that show. Everything we got going on Fightful Overbooked, and that's it. We'll be back next week with another stupid show of FMC. I don't know what we're talking about. Whatever comes up, that's what we're talking about. Bye, everybody.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.